Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah.
So in the election results of yesterday, there was a CNN Virginia Attorney General exit poll by gender. 58% of men voted for the Republican. 55% of women voted for Jones in this CNN exit poll. Joe Concha retweeted this poll and said, asking an obvious question here, but how could any woman hear what Jones said about wanting his opponent's wife and young children dead and still vote for this person? I think that, and I know that Turning Point USA was, you know, very much so founded in Charlie Kirk, and he was very much like part of the, what's the best way to say this? Like the movement to restore men in culture and society as men, but not in like the toxic masculine Andrew Tate kind of psycho bizarre, I can't stand that man, way. But I mean, honestly, I would just, this won't resonate with everybody, but it will resonate with a lot of you. It's like a biblical understanding of the role of a man in society and relationships and so on and so forth. And Charlie Kirk was a champion of that. And he was unapologetically so out with what he thought men should start being and how men could actually be happy. And he also spoke to how women could also find the same kind of happiness, albeit through a different path, because men and women are different. And when Charlie Kirk passed away, there was kind of this like momentary thing where it was like Erica Kirk was now going to deliver the women. I don't know how Erica Kirk is supposed to manage this time of her life. If she doesn't talk or if she does talk, people are going to be frustrated with her either way. She is a widow. She gets every grace and concession that I could possibly give her. I can't even imagine. What I don't really need from her right now, and I completely understand if this is what she needs to do right now. If she feels like what she needs to do in the wake of her husband's assassination, that she needs to go out and advocate for the cause. I don't need Erica Kirk to pick up the political mantle right now for me. Like, that's just not what I'm looking for from her. But I will say that while I think that the whole trad wife, if you haven't heard of that, that is a emphasis on a traditional way of living for women who raise children. They care for the home. They make the dinners. They do the traditional things that women in society over the course of decades, centuries, longer than that, have done. That re-entering the traditional woman back into culture as really an elective lifestyle that you could adapt for yourself and be proud of. I think that that is a really good thing to enter back into society. But I think there has to be some other kind of movement adjacent to it, not instead of it, but with it, that also empowers women to embrace their families, to have children, to have careers if they want to have careers, whatever, you know, part-time, full-time, whatever it is. I kind of feel like the trad wife thing has been presented in a very either or way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
Like, the movement, the influencer movement is like, this is how it should be.
Yes. And it doesn't, it's not, it really is more of a buffet than that. You can have aspects of it and you can have aspects of this at the same time and manage it fine.
And I think a woman would be able to make the decision as how to do that best for herself.
Seems like that would be feminism.
That's what I am. I'm a raging feminist. I had like a girl power shirt in 1996. And my dad didn't like it. He's like, why do you need that shirt? And I was like a athlete doing all the things. And it was obvious to me that he saw culture trying to uplift girls in a way that eventually now my kids are seeing men be denigrated just to even the score a little bit. I don't like it either, Dad. I'm right there with you. Still maybe a little feminist. We'll be right back.
On 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to be with you. Who's favored in the 2026 midterm elections, Democrats or Republicans? If you want to text us your thoughts on this, 314-241-9797, you can just text that number. It goes straight to Ryan. So make it Wigginsy.
Yeah, you got to make it entertaining or else I'll be like, meh.
It's hard. Ryan struggles reading them, though.
It is hard to read them.
You got to use simple words.
Yeah, slow down.
You talking to yourself?
No, if you're texting, text slowly.
What are your thoughts on the midterm election? Does this have anything to do with it? Are you worried? Who's favored?
Yeah, this does concern me. The level of enthusiasm from Democrats in these states is high. So Democrats are going to win these elections. So I don't think the outcomes are surprising. It's the margin by which they won them.
Oops, sorry. Working on something.
All right, you're welcome. So going into the midterms, gosh, it's a long way away. So we're still a year away. A lot can happen in a year. But since the question is today, I'm going to say Democrats, just based on yesterday and the enthusiasm with which they showed up. But there's a lot that could happen with the Supreme Court, with, like you said, there's a possibility of a census. There's the Voting Rights Act. There's redistricting. There's a lot of things that could happen that have a lot to do with politics and not as much to do with messaging that could just alter the outcome alone going into the House elections. That's not concerning the Senate so much as it was the House. The Senate, I still feel pretty good about.
You definitely have to retain one body of government.
Well, you got the executive, so for the next 3.5 years, and then 2 years after that, you do have the presidency. So that's, you're not going to get like crazy stuff passed. But man, it'd be good to keep the Senate. I mean, it'd be good to keep them both. But
you want to go back in the Wayback Machine?
Yeah.
Struggle if you said no. Absolutely.
We haven't done this in a while.
January 27th of this year.
Okay.
January 27th would be right after inauguration. Because, right?
A week after.
It was the 21st. J.B. Pritzker on Elon Musk.
We have a very prominent figure who is very closely associated with the president standing up at a presidential rally and giving 2 Nazi salutes in a row. Now, if he didn't mean it, he should apologize. But he knows very well what those things mean. And even, again, if he didn't mean them, afterward, you could say, and he should, I didn't mean that. That wasn't the symbol I was trying to show. Now, here's what I think about it. Neo-Nazis across the United States celebrated when he did that. That should be some indication to everybody about why this is so important for him to call out. Now, what has he followed up with? Jokes about Nazis. Jokes, like it's okay. And then showing up in a video presentation to the far right folks who are the most anti-Semitic in German politics. And
so that's J.B. Pritzker. Who's he talking about there?
Elon Musk.
Is he? He's talking about somebody who is, he's saying there's a connection here to, doesn't J.B. Pritzker kind of talk about Elon Musk as if there's like known anti-Semitism? Connected, adjacent, close enough that a little bit of it could rub off on him.
Oh, yeah. And also, just that there's no way this guy would ever apologize or backtrack from his neo-Nazi salutes.
What Elon Musk did at a rally while he was bouncing around the stage is he put his hand on his heart. I'm not going to do it right now because I'm not going to satisfy the people who want to copy this video of me here. I'm not going to do it. But he put his hand on his heart and then he put his hand out to the crowd to thank them. Did it resemble a Nazi salute? There were similarities. Is Elon Musk Nazi saluting? No! Obviously not. And that, I mean, like, it's obvious, but it's politically advantageous for J.B. Pritzker to simply, by virtue of Elon Musk being on that stage with Donald Trump, there's just so much that is just accepted foundationally to that argument that he is maybe possibly dog whistling the Nazis into getting into formation. So now let's go to somebody else who has been accused of being anti-Semitic. I've heard a lot of accusations be put out there, and Zoran Mamdani is artful in the way that he bobs and weaves through his support for the Palestinian state and his lack of support for Israel. He's very much so out there saying Bibi Netanyahu steps foot in New York City, he's going to have him arrested. I don't know that that's the way that's going to work. Of course, the UN being there in New York City. But just going back to J.B. Pritzker and his righteous anger towards Elon Musk for being done at a rally, completing a speech rally, and putting his hand over his heart and expressing to the crowd that was in front of him that he appreciates them in what could be similarly compared to somebody who was actually doing a Nazi salute. This is visual, so you can go back and look at the video, but we're going to have Ryan react to this here. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
This is a treat.
This city belongs to you.
Okay. Oh.
Thank you.
And there it is. But wait, if that's not close enough, hand back on the heart. It is.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the exact same motion that Elon Musk did on the stage, and he does it three times. So I don't know if we should here be in a position to, you know, pick up the mantle where J.B. Pritzker has left off for us. Is this, or should we be discussing the merits of the maybe Nazi salute? I mean, I don't know if he's adjacent to anti-Semitic rhetoric, if there are people who are Jewish in New York City who may feel a little concerned about the way New York City is about to go. Just saying.
So I haven't seen that clip before. And watching it, I thought, well, I wouldn't look at that and think Nazi salute. And I don't know that he would say that he was doing a Nazi salute. I think that he would probably tell everybody if you asked him, no, I wasn't doing.
That I was saying I appreciated my audience,
yes,
my supporters.
And so, and it was a little different than he did it three times. Elon Musk did it once. Elon Musk's was a little more direct. His was a little softer.
Did he only do it once?
Elon? I thought he only did it once.
Yeah,
but whatever. He did it. And Zoran Mamdani did a similar action, but a little slower, you know, a little less extreme. But I think in saying that, what I'm highlighting is I have no idea what the purpose of what that person's doing. I would base it on what I know about them and assume that they're not doing Nazi salutes to their crowd.
You're not going to go immediately to, obviously, that was a Nazi salute. I mean, everybody, it's so obvious. He should apologize. That's
what's so ridiculous is that There are so few people in this country publicly that would ever stand up on a stage and go, you know what I'm going to do? A Nazi salute. Because I want to find the contingency of neo-Nazis in this country, which none of us know who the blank that these people are, and have never met them. And they're so in the shadows that J.B. Pritzker says neo-Nazis across this country celebrated when they saw that.
Well,
who are these people?
J.B. Pritzker's comments, and I think it's funny listening back to them now. His whole point is, if he didn't mean it, then he should absolutely apologize. Your move, Zoran.
And shortly after that, didn't Elon Musk go on Joe Rogan or somewhere and go, of course it wasn't a Nazi salute?
I'm sure. I don't know.
But isn't that enough for what J.B. Pritzker's saying there?
I'm just saying that an obvious motion of gratitude to people who are in front of you, you're on a stage, an expression of appreciation and gratitude towards your supporters. I think Elon Musk's movement and Zoran Mamdani's movement are the same. I think they were made out of gratitude and not out of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that one of those two individuals has been anti-Semitic.
And that's a wrap. You are correct.
I'm like, maybe you don't have to apologize for the motion, but how about the policies? Mm. Can we start there?
Yeah. Which one is really anti-Israel between these two people? Which one is putting satellites in their country to help Israel?
I've got a video of, and I can't 100% confirm that it was from last night. And I don't want to get caught up in some sort of sensationalism. But there's a bunch of people in the streets of New York City. And it's a Muslim who is saying that it's time for Muslims to come out of the shadows. It's time for this is their city. And I mean, it's all religiously charged rhetoric. And I was just thinking of like all of the times as a Christian, Christians have been told like separation of church and state, like get your church, get your religion out of my politics. And the message that this individual and the reason why I'm not playing it is because if this is something that happened on Saturday night and not last night, I think the context of the timeline matters. It's still concerning to me that there are Muslims that are like out there saying like it's time to come out of the shadows and that like everything here is Allah's plan and all of that. Like, okay, you have a religion. We could compare notes on religions. But Christians, if Christians were to use the rhetoric that was comparable to what was being done in that instance, there would be people on the left who would have a problem with it. There's just a great hypocrisy on what you permit and what you don't permit based on how you find it to be politically advantageous for your political party. And this nonsense Nazi salute crap that they tried to pin on Elon Musk, which was obviously not a Nazi salute. And I know Zoran Mamdani, I don't know, but I would say obviously he wasn't thinking, I know how I'm going to end this sucker. Like, I don't think Mamdani was going to do that. I think afterwards he might chuckle at the appearance of it and go, whoops, like didn't see it that way or whatever. I'm willing to put the best construction on what Zoran Mamdani was doing at the end of his speech. Just like I wish that and will never hold my breath that the left would do for the right. It's not going to happen.
So you don't just assume that his crowd is pro-Nazi, even though there's no evidence that they would be. Because I was told by Nicole Wallace or whatever on the news the other day that, well, the left doesn't ever actually call anybody Hitler or Nazi or whatever that clip was the other day. However,
it's like, hold my beer.
There's a clip or there's a comment from one of our left-leaning listeners here that says that when Elon gave this salute, he was speaking to a neo-Nazi group.
Wasn't it a Trump rally?
It was a Trump rally.
Oh, so, screw all the way off, Scoot.
So you just called
Scoot all the way
all
off
Trump supporters yeah, like, neo-Nazis.
Yeah, and gosh, I really wish Trump would tone down his rhetoric. Go to a break. I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. We'll be right back.
Can you say it on break? I would like to hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to say it right now. Watch the video. It's about to fly. We'll be right back.
Check it out. Sports and local.
Ethan's forgettable stories.
How forgettable are they, Ethan?
How forgettable are these stories, Ethan?
Ethan.
No respect.
Ethan. There he is.
I would argue that they are very unforgettable stories.
If you do your job.
That's what you are.
Okay, Tony Bennett.
What was that?
It's hard to tell. You were saying?
Unforgettable.
You done?
Yeah.
He's done. Okay.
In every way. That's why, darling.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Unforgettable! In every way!
The worst part is that it gets drawn into this, like, you know, you decide to sing, and then there's, like, 4 seconds of silence. So I'm about to start, and Annie then goes in.
What do you mean that's the worst part? It's my show!
No.
That's the best part!
It's me not knowing whether to start or not, because as soon as I do,
you gotta be quick.
Someone else sings, Unforgettable!
Listen, on the Ethan Hannaford show, you
on
can sing whatever you want, whenever you want.
Unforgettable, too.
So.
Yeah. I was trying.
You did that on purpose.
I was trying.
Go on.
It is high school football playoff time.
What is it?
High school football playoff time.
Did you play football?
No.
Ryan, did you play football?
In the street.
Brad, did you play football?
No.
I didn't.
No?
No, I had two girls. We had two girls on the football team at the high school I went to when we were there. One of them was not a kicker.
When I played in the street.
Stop it! Don't even, Ethan. Go on. Leave.
Don't
encourage him. He's going to ruin the whole segment.
So normally, unless it got to, you know, the very later rounds and there were some local teams that were, you know, playing for state titles or getting close to that, this probably wouldn't get brought up. But this was such a crazy story that came up this past weekend that I figured it was worth mentioning. In tiny little Fairfield, Illinois, a couple hours away from here, about 2 hours away from here.
Southern Illinois, though, right?
Southern Illinois. About as southern of Illinois as you can get.
Cairo. Right.
Okay.
He's just saying words.
There was a first-round playoff game played between Fairfield and Porta Central High School. And the final score of this game, this was a barn burner, 9-8, Porta came out on top. But what makes this so interesting is how Porta won this game, and it's causing a lot of controversy. Porta scored with less than 30 seconds left. They hit a field goal to win the game. But what led to that at one point was a drive where they were given an extra down.
Ooh.
In the red zone at the very end of the game. So normally you would get 4 downs, and then you either have to kick it or you have to choose to go for it. If you don't get the first down, then the other team would get the ball. During this final drive, final minutes of the game, the referees lost track of the downs at one point in the mix of this, and they were awarded, unintentionally, an extra down.
Fifth down. The name of the bar is everywhere.
Oh, no.
So they spiked it one extra time is what happened, and the referees didn't catch it. Spiking it is when you throw it straight into the ground in order for the clock to stop. So
yeah,
they were
right.
All out of timeouts. They were doing that in order to be able to get the field goal team on to take the lead. So they spiked it one extra time.
You want to know
five
what
downs
was forgettable? That fourth down.
Uh-huh. Can you?
Oh
yeah. Hey there, Dice. Can you somehow work the phrase into that score? What did they score? What did they score?
What was the final score?
Yeah,
9-8.
What was the last? Did they score a touchdown or a?
It was a field goal.
It was a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say Porta sorta scored a
field goal? You can if you're slow.
Can you do that?
So why?
So that the field goal was scored on the fifth down?
Field goal was scored, yes, I believe, on the fifth down.
So the extra down changed the outcome of the game?
Correct.
And when was the fifth down verified?
After the game. So after the game, Fairfield quickly realized, hey, that wasn't right. They had 5 downs on that last drive. Quickly, this started catching ground on social media.
But I mean, like, you're talking about after the game, like...
The game had finished. Someone had gone back and looked and noticed at one point whether it had been a fan or something that had passed it along to the coaches, mm-hmm, or something. Hey,
but
there were 5 downs on that drive.
It wasn't while the players were still on the field.
Correct.
There was anything, and I don't know what you would have done even in that instance. You'd have corrected it, I assume, and taken away that opportunity. But it was... after the game had completed, was over, people went home. That's my understanding.
That is my understanding as well.
But it's over. Then there's nothing you can do, right?
So at that point, Fairfield makes this known. They start to basically communicate, hey, this was an issue. They got an extra down. They are complaining to the IHSA about this. And the IHSA basically puts out a statement saying, yes, this we acknowledge this happened. There's nothing we can do at this point to change it.
So here's the question. Final. Ethan, do you think that there's... You call football games at the college level. You've watched a ton of this. If something like this happened, what do you think is the right thing to do? Because there are no question right now as to whether or not a fifth down was awarded. It was awarded. Everybody admits that as a fact in the case of the matter.
Uh-huh.
Was time done?
There was like 10 seconds left. It was the
very end
of the game.
So there's a play left.
Basically. You're asking what would be the correct way, in my opinion, to handle this?
Can the IHSA take away the victory from a team that was awarded a down that should not have existed that they scored on?
You first and foremost have to follow what your guidelines say. Because as soon as, for one situation, you are willing to, you know, change something when the guidelines, the rules say a certain thing, all of a sudden, you know, where does the line stop down the road? Obviously, this was an extreme situation. But in my opinion, because the rule says this, the IHSA cannot go ahead and flip the score after the game in this situation. Now, if maybe the IHSA could go to Porta and say, hey, this is what happened, you know.
The team that won.
It is, yes. It is. This is up to you guys, you know. If you guys
you
want
to vacate
to,
your win,
if you want to forfeit this win in good faith, then that is up to you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. At one point, the Porta head coach was asked, and he said that he was unsure what would be happening as far as a forfeit goes.
Should the Porta school forfeit the win? What do you think, Ryan?
No, I don't think they should. They weren't the ones that caused the error. If they had manipulated it somehow to commit some sort of fraud or cheat, then yes, they should be held accountable. But they didn't do that. It was an accident, and they benefited from it. That happens in bad officiating all the time. This one's just pretty extreme.
Let's talk about the perfect game that was that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what
Detroit?
You're talking about.
Who was
Detroit?
Oh, all right, that one. Okay, okay.
So,
I mean,
it was a perfect game. The umpire blew the call,
mm-hmm.
Lost the perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't the MLB wasn't like, we're going to go back and fix that.
Not immediately. They have since.
Yeah.
It is now in the record books viewed as a perfect game. But it took them 10, 12 years to do so. To
and
officially
it also,
change it.
That doesn't change the win. It's just an acknowledgement of an achievement.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I mean, do you think the IHSA, Ryan, should go and overrule the outcome of the game, the officials ruling in the game? Do you think that the IHSA should correct this issue?
Well, not knowing more about the specifics of the game.
What would be helpful?
Would the score have been different for sure?
Yes.
Well, they spiked the ball an extra time, and because they weren't aware, if Porta was not aware, I guess, of the down either, when they spiked that ball, that should have been it. They should have given the ball back at that point. That would have been their mistake that they would not have recognized the down, whether the referees had
the
marker incorrect. They kicked a field goal on fifth down.
So they would have kicked a field goal on fourth down, but they just didn't know what down it
correct.
Was. So I just don't think that IHSA would step in here.
Here's the thing, though. In that situation, they would be running up to spike the ball because the play prior to it got them new field position, forcing them to stop the clock. So they couldn't have run up and set a field goal and kicked it. So, like what Ethan is saying is, when they spike that ball on fourth down, that's it. Turnover on downs.
Yeah, but do you know, are there timeouts left? I mean, I don't think we have.
I would assume there weren't timeouts left if they were spiking it on fourth down.
Right.
But if they would have thought that the fourth down was third down, the way they approached that down would have been different. Basically, a lot of things would have been different if the down was anticipated as a third down as opposed to a fourth down. The way they handled the situation. You can't, like, I know that Brad is saying that, like, they wouldn't have had the time to... When you spike the ball, you're turning in a down for the opportunity to manage the time you need to make the play you
Correct.
Need. And that's what they did. But we don't know how it would have gone otherwise. Right. So it's not safe to say that, oh, they totally would have missed it or they definitely would have made it.
Yeah, you don't know.
You just don't know. You have no sure thing on the other end. But what you do know is that on fifth down, which you can have, they scored a field goal that took it from 6-8 to 9-8. And the team that won changed. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is Barstool Sports, of the Barstool Sports variety, huge national sports brand, is tweeting about this game. And they said the Illinois refs should be in prison after allowing a fifth down that changed the result of a playoff game. Now, I will tell you, I'm related to a lot of IHSA officials that officiate a lot of sports. I, to my knowledge, am not related to any of the officials affiliated with this game. But I do have very close family members who are doing IHSA football playoff games. So I felt that feeling of adrenaline that rushes in your body 30 seconds after you evade a really serious accident. And your body goes, whoa, that was close. That's the way this kind of feels to me. And to think that Barstool is out there tweeting about this little, what class is Fairfield?
I think they're class three.
Three, so like a 3A Southern Illinois football playoff, first week, first round playoff game. Barstool's like, put these refs in prison. And I'm like, easy boy, calm down. So I'm going, I never ever do this. And when I hear people do this on the radio and the radio shows, I make fun of them. So I will later make fun of myself for this. But Barstool Sports put this out here and it's a very hyper local story on a really national scale. And they want to send these refs to prison over this mistake. And this person said, it's a high school game, not the end of the world. And then another person replied, for the kids who will never play another down of football in their lives, it is the end of the world. And so my comment back was, nothing that happens to you in high school needs to be the end of the world. Really crappy life lesson, but good grief, get some perspective. Think of all of the worst things. When you're in high school, everything is as big as it can be. And it feels like the world is ending. But, like, I don't remember high school. Like, I did a lot of things in high school. I competed in a lot of sports. There was a lot of stuff that went on. You don't want to encourage kids to be like, that's it, totally. Your life is going to suck for the rest of time.
Hey, buddy, you peaked.
Yeah.
And hope you enjoyed being on the football team.
And unfortunately, it doesn't even count. So I said, really crappy life lesson, but good grief, get some perspective. The first comment reply back to me says, you, as a girl, really have no perspective on the subject.
Yes. We need to have this person on for X's and Y's.
I know. I know. Why is it that I don't have... I am disqualified?
Because girls don't play football.
I'm going to enter that men's locker room and share my thoughts on the matter. So this other person says these players have great perspective on the situation. It's apparent you've not talking to me. It's apparent you've not had a senior play in a sport they love and worked hard to win games. These kids worked hard all year and shouldn't have to put up with blatant mistakes by officials that cause their high school careers to be cut short. And IHSA is hiding behind a policy that really doesn't apply, so they don't have to make a decision. Where do you put into perspective? You competed in golf.
Yeah, in high school.
Were you a serious competitor in golf?
We went to state my junior year.
Did you contribute on that team?
No.
Oh.
I was there, but...
Were you a part of the team, though?
Yeah, I was part of the team, but I didn't play at state.
Did you get to bask in the glow of that high level of competition?
Yeah, yeah.
You took it seriously.
Yeah.
I think you probably were with people who really wanted to compete at a high level.
We had a really good senior class.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't go my senior year. They were all gone.
Ethan, did you compete at anything at a high level in high school?
No, we were decent in everything, but we were never, you know, contenders for state or anything like that in my sports.
Brad?
Baseball. Undefeated.
Did you play in the postseason?
Did you win state? It was underclassmen, so there wasn't like a state tournament. But then the following year, the team went to state and lost in the state championship.
Undefeatable.
I really am looking at the comments from the people who have ascended onto, descended onto this Barstool Sports, asking the officials to be imprisoned over this mistake. And I'm sad. I get like kind of the small town, like football is everything. It's exciting, and you do work really hard for it. I don't begrudge these kids the fact that for the rest of their life, they're going to know that they got screwed. Like, nobody's arguing that you got hosed in this call. But don't the adults in the room have to have a little perspective to be like, guess what? This sucks. And it's not going to change. And it sucks. That's just kind of the end of it.
That's where your expectations are entirely off, is you expect for parents to act like adults. And that, you know, in this day and age just doesn't happen.
Same guy who told me that I, as a girl, don't have any perspective on this issue, later on says, Annie Fry, I bet you never had a 5-year commitment on anything, including marriage.
Oh my.
That escalated quickly.
Jabs.
I said 21 Jeez. Years and counting together, 18 years married, 4 beautiful children, 17 years at the same job, try again. And then he said, well, the odds were good. The way you sounded, I'm amazed.
That's hilarious.
He
still walked away the winner.
I kind of want, yeah, of course he did. I'm going to steal that win with him on a fifth down here in the comments, like when he's asleep and he doesn't know what's happening. I'm going to take it to him right there. I just, like, I don't get in the comments section very often, especially in my, like, personal Facebook account. But come on, guys. You can't look at these kids who are absolutely devastated, have a right to be absolutely devastated, and be like, well, that's it. You can't do that. You have to show up and be the adult in the room.
And to add perspective, since we're talking about the adults being adults, I get being really mad. You're trying to go to state. This is a playoff game. I didn't even know that. So this is a big deal. It's a big, big deal for everybody involved. But you just got a story that has become national news that you can tell for the rest of your life. That game will be much more memorable now than it was before. I'm not saying that solves everything, but it is still kind of cool.
I'll be in Fairfield in a couple weeks for deer hunting season. My dad actually
walk went around to, town my, dressed like a ref.
My dad went to Fairfield High School, and I'll be able to, you know, share some, you know, get some on the ground news about how the people
you need
are
to
doing.
Get, you need to dress as a ref, wear some really thick glasses, and just walk around the town running into things.
I'm trying to hunt, not be hunted.
I see. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.